So I'm Lori Novick, coming here from Efrat. I'm a Yoetzet Halacha, and I'm also a director and head writer of Derecha.org, which is a website under the auspices of Har Tzion and Women in Mitzvot. But this is a completely different hat I'm wearing today. I'm just taking pleasure in looking at some midrashim and thinking about them. And in Israel, as you might imagine, this has been, I think, everywhere, it's been a very challenging year and a particularly resonant Tisha B'Av, and certainly, it's been very heavy here in Israel. And so I confess that when Rabbi Jay asked me to do this, and I said, okay, well, at his suggestion, I started looking at some midrashim, that I found myself drawn to midrashim that I found gave me a little bit more nourishment. So Eicha is, of course, this profound question, this lament. The midrashim I want to look at today are a few different, it's five different midrashim, three short, two long, and each of them in its own way is following a model of showing aspects of Yirmiyahu's lament in Eicha and showing responses or modes of response within Tanakh, but it's a very particular type of response. It's not a response that shuts down the questioning. It's a response that provides a kind of spiritual reassurance. And I'm looking forward to looking at these with you. So without further ado, I'm going to try to get the screen up the way I want to get it up. See? Yeah, okay. That's not the part I want to show you. Okay. So here we are. So I want to start the first, and I think Rabbi Jay, if you didn't, if you could share the source again, the source sheet, that would be helpful probably for some people. I'm just trying to get this optimized. Okay, great. So the first midrash I want to look at is a midrash on the phrase in Eicha, in La Menachem. That she, here we have Tzion, who's personified throughout Eicha in different ways, and the Almana, the widow, Bat Tzion, the Betulat Tzion, the young woman. So the question is, how can it be that Tzion, as she says, she has no one to comfort her in La Menachem? And this is a fascinating midrash. Amar Rav Levi, kol makom shenemar ein havala. Rav Levi says, everywhere in Tanakh where it's said that something is not present, ein, in fact, it winds up happening. It winds up coming to pass. And now he's going to give a few examples, and at the end, he's going to come to our examples. So the first one is, Vatehi Sarah Yakara in Lavlad. Sarah Imenu, back when she was Sarai, is barren, and she has no children. So here we have the word in Lavlad. But then, the Havilah. In the end, she winds up having it. Vashem Pakad et Sarah. Hashem remembers Sarah, and that's when she winds up giving birth to Yitzchak. Udechavate, and similarly, Ulechana in Yeladim. Chana, too, was a barren woman. She had no children. And yet again, in the end, what happens to Chana? The Havilah. She also has, because it said, Ki pakad Hashem et Chana. Hashem remembered Chana. Unless you think that this pattern only works for women who are looking to have children, we have another example. Dechavate, Tzion hi doresh ein la. Tzion is lacking someone who's seeking its welfare. The Havilah, but in the end she has it, Shenemar, because it says in Yeshayahu, Uva leTzion goel. In the end, there's going to be a Redeemer. God the Redeemer is going to come to Tzion. And finally, we get to our first example from Megillat Eicha. Afkan, Atomer, here with respect to Eicha, Ein La Menachem, this is the pasuk we started with. She, Yerushalayim, has no one to comfort her. And here too, this assertion that there's not someone there, in fact, is going to get turned around. The Havilah, in fact, she'll have it. Shneamar Yeshayahu says, Anochi, Anochi, hu menachemchem. This is Hashem speaking in one of the nevuot, in one of the prophecies of Nechama, of comfort. I am he that will comfort you. So this is sort of setting the stage for the kind of discussion we're going to see in a few parallel midrashim here. This midrash doesn't shy away from the fact that in Eicha, there's a very strong and very, very disturbing, even frightening statement. Yerushalayim has no comforter. And at the same time, it points out that ultimately a comforter is going to come. And who's that comforter in this case? It's going to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a really simple, straightforward layout. We've gone from Ein to Yesh. We've got from their not being to their being. The next midrash we're going to look at is much more complex, and it actually is written in a way that seems almost like a forerunner of the kind of model that we see in a lot of our keynote. Okay? What we have here, you can already look before we even get into it. You see that I set it up in columns. We're going to have things that Yirmiyahu said contrasted with statements made by the prophet Yeshayahu. And we're also going to have this Aleph Bet pattern. And the reason we're having an Aleph Bet pattern is because each statement on the right hand column that's been said by Yirmiyahu is actually the opening phrase from one of the psukim of the first chapter of Megillat Eicha. So this is a midrash that really seems almost like a kina. We're going to take the first phrase of every verse in the first chapter, and we're going to respond to it with a statement by Yeshayahu. First, let's look at the introduction. This is from Eicha Rabbah. The introduction opens with a ptichta, a verse that's not in Eicha. It's a verse from Tehillim. Es karani ginati balayla, im levavi asicha, vechapes ruchi. So this is an interesting verse. I remember those who kind of jibe the attacks against me at night. I am sort of communing with myself. I'm in conversation with myself. And then vechapes ruchi. And then my spirit starts to seek. And the continuation of the verse, which isn't quoted in the Midrash, important methodological point for whenever we learn Midrash, even if an entire verse isn't quoted, we always want to see if the rest of the verse is relevant. And in this case, the continuation of the verse is, Hala olamim yiznach Hashem. Will God always be, as it were, forsaking us or neglecting us? So here we have a verse that's really setting up the emotional tone for this whole midrash. On the one hand, here it is, it's night, i.e. it's a dark time. I'm remembering the attacks or the jibes against me. I'm not sure whom I can speak with. I'm in levavi asicha. I'm here on my own trying to process the difficult experience I'm going through. And ultimately, what's going to happen? Vayichapes ruchi. My spirit is going to go on a search. With the continuing of the pasuk, my spirit's going to go on a search to see if Hashem has really abandoned me and if he's really going to continue to abandon me. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Ayvu, Rabbanan Omri, okay, these four Rabbanim all say, or these three Rabbanim and rabbis in general said, Lefi shechet'o shechat'u me'alef ad taf, because B'nai Yisrael, when they sinned with a catalog of transgressions going through the alphabet from A to Z, or from Aleph ad Tav. Mitnachmim me'Aleph ad Tav. The comfort is also meant to come from A to Z. V'chein at motzeh shekol nevuot kashot shnitnabe Yirmiyahu ag Yisrael hikdim Yeshayahu rafa'an. And so you will find that all of the difficult prophecies that Yirmiyahu shares with us, and here it's going to be from the first chapter of Eicha, Yeshayahu preceded him and healed them. This is a reference to, there's a phrase, lagdim refua lamakah, that before someone even gets injured, you try to stick in the healing first. It's, you take a prophylactic measure as it is. So with this midrash, and it's interesting, right, because Yeshayahu really does precede Yirmiyahu chronologically. And yet, if we think about it, we still do this today. We read Eicha on Tisha B'Av, and the comfort that we're going to seek in the Shiva de Nechamta and the series of Haftarot that will lead us through the next almost 2 months, the comfort that we seek is by and large coming from Yeshayahu, who preceded him. We get the comfort from someone who came before. And here what we're going to see is how throughout this midrash, strophe for strophe, line for line, Yirmiyahu tells us about something tragic, and we find a statement in with Yeshayahu that can reassure us. Or looking back at the pasuk in Tehillim, we're dealing with the difficult reminders of the jibes or attacks against us. As Karana Ginati Balayla, those are going to be the quotes from Yirmiyahu. Vechapes Ruchi, our spirit is searching for a response. And in this midrash, Yeshayahu is providing our spirit with that response. Yirmiyahu Amar, Echa Yashva Bedad. Okay, so, and I'm not going to say every time Yirmiyahu said, Yeshayahu said inside, but the first phrase is, how can the city sit alone? And what's the response from Yeshayahu? Lamart Belavavcha, Mieledli et Ela. If Yeshayahu is also imagining Tzion as a woman, and here it's a woman with children who suddenly is inundated with children coming back to her, and she says, where did they come from? So where Yirmiyahu is highlighting the solitary nature of Jerusalem at destruction, Yeshayahu is telling us Yerushalayim is going to be flooded with inhabitants. Bachotiv kebalayla, you surely cry at night. She will cry at night. Bachol lo tivke. Yeshayahu actually says really the opposite. She will not cry because Chanon yachnecha, because Hashem is going to show her favor. Galta Yehuda me'oni. Yehuda was sent, exiled. Okay? And here, Nefutzot Yehuda yikabetz. The same Yehuda is going to have an ingathering. Darkei Tzion avelut. The paths of Tzion are mourning. Kol koreb midbar panu derech Hashem. A voice is coming in the wilderness. Make way for God. So here the ways are in mourning, and here the ways are preparing for God's resurgence and our resurgence in the land. Hayut sarea larosh. Her enemies became like the head in charge. And here, v'hu elecha shachuach b'nei ma'anecha. And they will go. Now we're talking the same enemies who in Yirmiyahu are on top. Here they're coming, shachuach, bent over. Their enemies are coming. We are on top again. We prevail. Vayetse min batzion kol hadara. All of the glory of batzion leaves. Uva letzion goel. That same pasuk we saw before. The Redeemer is coming to Tzion. Zachra Yerushalayim, we're remembering the sin. And then we have Lo tizkarena rishonot. Hashem's not going to remember the sins and hold them against us. Chet chata Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim made a great sin. Yeshayahu says, Machiti ke'avsha echa. I'm wiping away like a heavy cloud your iniquity. And your sin like also like a cloud. So it's basically, we've done this great sin, and Yeshayahu says, it's being wiped away. Tumata b'shuleha, she, Yerushalayim, wears her impurity on the fringes, on the margins of her garment, the hem of her garment. And then Yeshayahu tells us, Imrachatz Hashem et Soap b'notzion, that Hashem is going to clean up the excrement of Batzion. Yirmiyahu, Yado paras tsar, the enemy is spreading out his hands to attack us. Yeshayahu, Yosef Hashem shenit yado liknot et sharamo. Hashem will once again put forth his hand to collect or take ownership of the remnant of his people. Yirmiyahu, kol amane nachim mevakshim lechem. All of the people are sighing, seeking bread. Yeshayahu, lo yarvu lo yitzmu. They're not going to starve, and they're not going to be thirsty. Mimarom shalach esh. I'm sorry. Lo lechem kol evrei derech. This should not befall you, everyone who's on their way. Ad yare aleinu ruach mimarom. There's going to be a spirit coming upon us. This terrible thing shouldn't come upon us. No, God's spirit from up high is going to come upon us, says Yeshayahu. Mimarom shalach esh batzmotai. God sent fire from on high. Marom v'kadosh eshkon. No, now the things that are on high are going to be dwelling among us, and those who are low, daka or shefa ruach, are going to be lifted up and revitalized. Niskad ol sha'ai. We're going to be bound up with the yoke of our sins. And Yeshayahu says, Hipatchim osrei tzvareich. We're going to open up the bounds around our neck. Okay, it's the opposite, right? The ol on the neck, the yoke, is going to be completely opened up. Sila kol avirai. All of our heroes have been rejected. Salu solam sila siklumi evan. Clear up this word sila is like the word solu. Clear up the road because God is coming, the true hero. Al ela ani bochia. I cry over these. What's the eye doing for Yeshayahu? Ayin be'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem Tzion. Eye for eye is going to see God returning to Tzion. Yirmiyahu, Parsat Siyom Biyadea Ein Menachem La. There's that line again, Ein Menachem La. There's no one to comfort her. And Yeshayahu says, Anochi Anochi Hu Menachemchem. This is the line we saw in the first Midrash that we looked at. Okay, but now it's embedded here. It's the same pairing. Ein Menachem La. There's no one to comfort her. And the response is, I, God, am her comfort, or your comfort. Sadiq Hu Hashem. According to Yirmiyahu, the only one who's righteous is God, and he's righteous in punishing us. Yeshayahu, Vamech Kulam Tzadikim. All of your people, all of God's people are righteous. Karati Lama'avai, Hema Rimuni. God called to those, the city, Jerusalem, called to those who love her, and they all trick her, deceive her. Your walls are going to be calling about salvation. So this call is one of loneliness and desperation and deception. And in contrast, we're going to have a call of salvation. Re'e Hashem kitzarli. Look, God, because things are narrow for me, confining for me. Yishayahu, or yitem v'sas livchem. We're going to look, but it's not going to be confined. It's going to be joyous. Shem'u kinancha ani ein menachem. Li, again, this idea. Listen to my sigh because I have no one to comfort. And yet again, Yeshayahu, nachamu, nachamu ami. Be comforted, my people. Tavo kol ra'atam lefanecha. All of the bad things from the enemies are going to come upon you. Or all of the bad things that they've done or that you've done can fall upon you. Haviotim al har kodshi. Tavo, these bad things are going to come. Haviotim, God is going to bring us to the sacred mountain or to Beit HaMikdash. So what we really did have is exactly what was promised in this Midrash. We have a catalog from Aleph to Taf of the complaints in the first parak of Eicha, the harsh complaints about Hashem forsaking us because we deserve to be forsaken. And the response again and again from Yeshayahu is a response of comfort, of uplift. God's going to be there for us. We're going to be uplifted. Our enemies are going to fall in the end. What's unclean is going to be cleaned. There's a possibility for restoration. There's a possibility for restitution. There's Geula in the future. Redemption is coming. So this voice from Tehillim that at night is alone in her bed, pondering, working through again and again the struggles that she's had and seeking with her soul, responds a response in Yeshayahu that doesn't deny that any of these terrible things has happened, but looks them squarely in the face before they even happen, anticipates them and anticipates the response, which is, this is not the end. Things can get rough. Things can get difficult. We have fallen. The terrible things that were, but that's not the whole story. The other part of the story of Nevuah is a story of ultimate uplift and spiritual heights and redemption and closeness to God. Okay. A third Midrash takes a slightly different pattern, and it's with a similar type of theme. And it addresses something that was missing from the last Midrash. In the last Midrash, we had Yirmiyahu talking about our sins, and we had Yeshayahu responding with nechama, with comfort. In this Midrash, we add a third element. This is a Midrash on the phrase, ki rabot anchotai v'libi davai, because my sighing or my groaning is great and my heart is in pain, my heart is suffering. What you find, says the Midrash, is that with respect to any specific way that Am Yisrael sinned, bolaku, that's also how Am Yisrael were struck or were punished, uvon mitnachmin, and that's also how Am Yisrael were comforted. So here, we've added a third element, whereas previously we had the element of chet that was represented in the last Midrash by Yirmiyahu, and we had the element of nechama, of comforting, that was represented in the last Midrash by Yeshayahu. In this Midrash, we're adding another element, and that other element is how we were punished, the punishment itself. We have sin, we have nechama, and we have punishment. Three elements are being highlighted here. And in each of these elements, we're going to see a common thread. Now, what I'm going to want you to think about while we go through this midrash is to think about the different themes. These are going to be trios of sin, punishment, comforting, and each one is going to be around a common theme. For example, our first one is going to be around the theme of Rosh, the head, okay? And we're going to have 14 of these. I don't know if we're going to do every one word for word. We'll see how we do. But what I want you to be thinking about as we go through it is if you can group the elements that define each trio and what kind of meaning we might find in that grouping, okay? How it's working. The other nice thing about this midrash, so the last one was, like I said, much like a kina, it really follows the aleph to tav, A to Z pattern of Eicha. But this one, because it's in these thematic trios of sin, punishment, nechama, comfort, it's more far afield. It's not just Yirmiyahu and Yishayahu. It's psukim really coming from all over. So the first one is the head. Chat'u berosh, velaku berosh, umitnachmim berosh. B'nai Yisrael sinned with their heads, so they were punished with their heads, and they got comfort from their heads. And what we're going to have is a pasuk for each idea. So what was the sin with the head? This is back in the Midbar, in Chumash. Nitna rosh b'nashuva mitzrayma. We should head back to Egypt. The Am Yisrael is so frustrated, complaining in the desert. They want to head back to Egypt. And that scene here is a sin. And what's the punishment with the head? Yishayahu talks at one point about kol rosh cholicholi, that every head is going to suffer. And what's the comfort with the head? Le'yavor malkam lifnehem v'ashem berosham. Ultimately, Hashem is going to be in the front of everything. Now, you'll notice that the word head is really not being used the same way in each of these psukim. Each of these psukim, we do have this idea of a chet, of a sin, a punishment, and comfort in the trio. And we do have each pasuk using the word rosh, or head, but they're being used in slightly different ways, right? Not rosh ben eshuv mitzrayim, we should head back to Egypt, is different from saying that each head, like a physical head, is going to be aching or sick, which in itself is different from saying God will be at the head of Am Yisrael to comfort them. So already we see that in the eyes of this midrash, even though we're using the term head, and it sounds very physical, there's really a metaphorical way in which the term is going to be used. And we're going to see that pattern repeated. The next one is the ozen, the ear. Oznehem hichbidu mishmoa. Zechariah says that our ears were too heavy. We weren't willing to listen. Our punishment, asher kol shemo tetzilena shtei oznav. Anyone who hears it, this is from Shmuel Aleph, when Hashem is threatening punishment for Eli, for not supervising his sons properly and his sons' wrongdoing in the Mishkan. Anyone who hears it, their ears are going to be ringing. And then the nechama comes from Yeshayahu, goes, necha tishmana dvar me'acharecha. And your ears are going to hear this joyous thing about geula from behind you. Next, the eye. Ki gavhu b'not tziyom v'telachna n'tziyot aron m'shakrot inayim. B'not Yisrael, we're acting too haughty and we're walking with deceptive eyes. And what's the punishment? Back to Eicha. Eni eni yordamayim. My eyes are crying. And the nechama? Ki ein ba'ein yiru b'shuv Hashem Tzion. Eye to eye, we'll see the return to Tzion. This is the second time where we've had this couple. In the last midrash, we had the same couple, but we have the first phrase from the pasuk. The first phrase from the pasuk was about Baho tivke balayla, that she will surely, not Baho tivke balayla, al elani bochia, on these things I cry. And then the response was, eye to eye will see. Well, this is the continuation, the pasuk is being quoted here. So there's clearly a strong midrashic tradition to link some of the laments in Eicha with some elements in Yishayahu, because we're seeing again and again in Midrashim that some of the same themes are popping up. Okay, we had the head, we had the ears, we had the eyes, and now we've got the nose. Now, this one's particularly interesting because the first pasuk, we know background, right? The nose in Chumash is often related to phrases that have to do with anger, right? Because of the idea that when someone's angry, they would flare their nostrils in anger. So af can mean nose, but af can also mean anger. And then, of course, there's the word af that can also mean even. So here we have Yecheskel, v'hinam sholchim et hazmora el apam. That this is basically, Am Yisrael is sort of like sticking a branch, a zmora, into God's, up God's nose or to anger God. It's being used in both senses here. And the punishment, af ani elech imam bekeri. This is again from Chumash, from the Tochacha, to the end of Sefer Vayikra, where Hashem says, if we treat life like it's all happenstance and we don't buy into the breed, into the covenant and reward and punishment, then God too will treat us as though our lives are controlled by happenstance. Here the word af doesn't mean nose and it doesn't mean anger, it just means even. But then the comfort, the af gam zo piotam be'eretz oyvehem. But even so, in the end, says Hashem, in the Tochacha, even so, we're going to wind up renewing the Brit in the land of our forefathers. So we had in the Af category, we had one use of Af that related to the nose and anger. And then we had two uses that were related to the second meaning of the word, which is even. Okay, we had head, ear, eye, nose. Now we move on to mouth. V'chol peh dover nevela, every mouth sinned by saying something inappropriate. And the punishment, v'yochlu et Yisrael v'chol peh. Okay, Israel was eaten with every mouth. And the nechama azim ales chol pinu. Then our mouths will fill with joy. Lashon, the tongue. V'yedrichu et lashonam kishtam sheker, that they moved their mouths into kind of like a bow shaped in lies. Lashon, the punishment. Davak lishon yonek, this is from, again, Eicha, that the tongue of those who were nursing was stuck to the top of their gums because they didn't have any food, they were starving. And the nechama, well, shanenu rina. Okay, and in the end, we're going to have, we know from Shir HaMaalot, right, that our songs, that our tongues will sing in rejoicing. Lev, the heart, libam samu shamir mishmoa, they hardened their hearts so that they couldn't hear. Cholavav davai, his whole heart is suffering. Dibrul yalev Yerushalayim, comfort, he's going to speak to the heart of Jerusalem. Okay, hand. Yedechem damim mileu, this is Yeshayahu from Shabbat Chazon, your hands are full of blood. Eicha, yedei nashim rachmaniot, the hands of these merciful women in under ordinary circumstances here are going to slaughter their own kids and eat them. And finally, Nechama, Yosif Hashem Shenit Yado. Hashem, in the end, will return his hand to acquire his people. We saw this phrase also in one of the earlier Midrashim. And we have Regel. Regel Dichtiv, Raglam Laraya Rutzo, they ran to do bad. Uftermit Nadfu Raglecham Alhare Neshef, punishment, we're going to stumble with our legs in the mountains of the shadows. And the comfort, manavul ha'arim raglei mevaser. How beautiful it is on the mountains, the foot of the messenger. So this first section of the Midrash, which is actually most of the Midrash, you'll notice the themes again and again and again are body parts. Even if we wind up using them metaphorically as with Rosh, or even stronger, af, an alternate meaning of the word entirely, af to mean even and not nose or anger. It's clearly lining up this idea that the punishment, that these sequences of sin, punishment, and comfort are related to all the different parts of the body. You could almost say are connected to our physicality. Our heads, our ears, our eyes, our nose, our mouth, our tongue, our heart, our hands, our legs. Now, the Midrash suddenly changes gear, and the message of the Midrash becomes more sophisticated. Chat'u bahu. Now we don't have a body part, we have a pronoun. Am Yisrael sinned with respect to a pronoun. Well, if we have the pronoun, the he pronoun, who's that going to be? The he pronoun here is representing God. Am Yisrael sinned with respect to God. What does that mean? Yirmiyahu, kachshu b'ashem v'yamru lo hu. Our sin, we denied that God existed, we said he's not there. Our punishment, v'yafoch lam lo yiv, v'hu nilcham ba. The enemy winds up fighting us. And the Nechama, Anachi, Anochi, Hu Menachemchem. Again, we see this pasuk. I, myself, am he who comforts you. And this is back to the idea of God. So the sin is not recognizing God. The punishment is that someone else is powerful, powerful enough to fight us, powerful enough to destroy us in place of God's protection. And the comfort is that God comes to comfort us. So if we go back to the side of the sequence of this midrash, what's going on here is we've moved away from this body imagery, and now we're getting into these deeper, a deeper theological question. What's our ultimate sin here? Our ultimate sin here is a misunderstanding of God. Okay? And that's punished, but it's also correctable because God's going to show himself to us as our Menachem. Another abstract type of sin, chat'u bazeh. We sinned with that, the word that. Ki zeh Moshe ha'ish. The idea is that first they're saying that, this is in the story of Chet Ha'egel, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes missing. And the idea is that Moshe, he's not here, so we might as well go and make ourselves a golden calf. That's the sin. They were punished with zeh, with that, because it says, al zeh hayadava. This is what in Eicha says we have pain for. Umitnachmim bazeh, and we have comfort with the word that. Hine lokenu zeh kivinu lo. This is God. This is, here is God. This is whom we hoped for. What does it mean to move with this idea of zeh? The idea of zeh often in Tanakh is the idea that you can actually point something, that you can indicate it, that you're aware of its presence. Our sin is in thinking that the thing that matters is whether or not Moshe Rabbeinu is present, not even thinking about God. And our punishment is that we're going to suffer for all of this, but our comfort is recognizing that God is the ultimate this. God, as it were, is always in front of us if we have eyes to see. Fire. Fire is often in Tanakh a medium of communication between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here, in chasing, Yirmiyahu says, in chasing Avodah Zarah, we kindled fires, but not to our God. The punishment? Mimarom shalach esh. God sent fire. Again, we saw this pasuk earlier, right? This is from Eicha. God sent fire against us from on high. And the comfort? God is going to be fire surrounding us to protect us. So if we misread this communication and we put it in the wrong direction, then God can communicate violently in punishment. But there's also this possibility for correction where it returns to be a communication that reassures us or that defends us. Even more abstract, we sinned with yesh. Yesh, which in Hebrew literally means there is. This gets us back to really how we started, right? We started with the Midrash that said, anytime we see ain, that there is not. In fact, there is. Well, here's another example of this kind of error. Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu. We question whether God is really dwelling amongst us. And our punishment? Im yesh machor kemachovai. Does there exist a pain like my pain? In Eicha. And the comfort? Lanchilo avai yesh vosrotehem amale. For Hashem to give us a substance and fill our treasures. This one is about understanding reality. It's a sin of not seeing what is present, what's most profound, which is God's presence. And in our pain, in our suffering, we're only aware of the suffering. But the comfort is that God's presence is very palpable to us, and then we can take pleasure in it. And finally, chat'u b'kfalim, we sinned with doubleness, with doubling things up. For example, twice in the pasuk, it says, chet chat'a Yerushalayim in Eicha. Yerushalayim surely sinned. It sinned a sin. Double. Chet chat'a, a double sin. And the punishment is double. Kilakha miyad Hashem kiflayim b'chol chatoteh, because Hashem gave us, we got from Hashem punishment that was double for every sin. So we sin double, we're punished double, and our comfort is double. Nachamu, nachamu. We are comforted. And again, this pasuk, and here, it's pointing out that it says it twice, and it says it twice as it is, as it were, measure for measure. Or the way I would try to think about it is that it's saying that ultimately we've gone through all these cycles of three, and even if we redouble our sin, or as we've learned to see, there's the physical reality that we can get wrong everything in terms of our every element of our body can misread. And there's the more abstract understanding of who God is, of God's presence, of our communication with God, of what's really there. And in all of these cases, even if we redouble the sin, the ultimate message is that God can redouble the nechama, the comfort. Nachamu, nachamu. Okay, two last short midrashim that are on this similar theme, but develop it in slightly different ways. Okay, and the next one is one about the phrase, or coming off of a discussion of the phrase, Lama lanetzach tishkachenu. Why for eternity do you forget us? How can it be that God will always forget us? Why should that be? And of course, when we're saying, why do you eternally forget us? The assumption is that you are God eternally forgetting us, and we just don't understand why that is. But we're not even questioning that that's possible. Here, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua bar Avin, or Ba'advarim Amar Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu said four things. Me'isa, Ugi'ila, Aziva, Ushchicha. Okay? So these are four negative things that Yirmiyahu talks about. Me'isa is like rejection. Gi'ila is a similar word, spurning. Aziva, leaving cold, as it were, abandoning. Shchicha, forgetting. Okay, so we can see already why these words would be relevant in exploration of this question of why would God forget us forever? And Rabbi Yehoshua bar Avin says, Yirmiyahu said all of these things. For example, Me'isa ugila, dichtiv, it says in the following verse, Hama'os ma'asta et yuda, im b'tzion gala nashecha, have you, God, fully rejected Judah? Is Sion has your soul, God, fully spurned Sion? So Yirmiyahu asks it as a question in Sefer Yirmiyahu, whereas here in Eicha, Lama lanetzach tishkachenu, it seems already like a conclusion. And the response he gets, and this is interesting, the response he gets, we've seen Yishayahu be makdim refuah l'makah. We've previously seen Yishayahu much earlier than, not much, but somewhat earlier than Yirmiyahu, precede Yirmiyahu's lamentation with the remedy for it. Here it's Moshe Rabbeinu who already set the record straight. And the response is, lo miastim, but lo gealtim. The response is quite simply, no, the premise is wrong. Again, Yirmiyahu asks, God, have you rejected and spurned us? And Moshe Rabbeinu, generations earlier, is giving us the answer, the preemptive answer, which is, no, I have not rejected you. I have not spurned you. Clearly here meant to mean also God will not reject us. He will not ultimately spurn us. And the second two negative words, aziva ushchicha, abandoning and forgetting. Dichtiv, for it's written, Lama lanetzach tishkachenu tazvenu la'orach yamim. This is our pasuk in Eicha. Why will you always forget us? And the end of the pasuk, tazvenu la'orach yamim, that you should abandon us for the length of days. And this one, again, Yirmiyahu receives response from Yishayahu. Dichtiv, gam ela tishkachna vanochi lo eshkach. This one's interesting. This is Yishayahu is talking in terms of a metaphor. He uses often the metaphor of a woman who's given birth to children. And Yishayahu is talking about how God, reassuring Am Yisrael with the message of comfort, of Nechama, says, you know what? That woman who gave birth to children, Gam Ela Tishkachnu, it's conceivable, this might be a little hard for us to conceive, but it's conceivable that this woman would forget who her children are. However, says Yeshayahu, Anochi lo eshkachech. I.e. God, will not forget you. In other words, Yeshayahu is saying, even if a woman somehow conceivably could forget her children, God would never be able to forget or abandon us. God is like our mother, and God will never, never forget or abandon us. This midrash follows the pattern of the prior midrashim, but it's also a little different. It follows the pattern in that, again, we've got the lament or the complaint or the question, and again, we've got the response. It follows the pattern in that, again, Yirmiyahu, whether in Echa or in Sefer Yirmiyahu, is raising the problem. And either it's Yishayahu or Moshe Rabbeinu, an earlier Navi, is coming in and preemptively giving us the response and the reassurance. But the nature of this problem is a little different from the ones that we've seen previously. What we saw previously, if you think about our Aleph to Tav list, was really like an itemized list. That's the whole point of HZ, saying this is every respect in which we feel abandoned, right? When we talked about the last Midrash, we had the catalog of sin, punishment, and comfort that was either mapped onto the body or mapped onto specific abstract concepts about how the sin reflected or the sin was inherently a complete misapprehension of the world and God's role in it. Here it's a little different. Here it's a really very basic fundamental question. Why do you abandon us, God? Why do you leave us, God? Why do you forget us, God? And the answer is just as fundamental and basic and broad. And the answer is no explanations. No, the answer is across the board, no, no, no. This brings us back to our Ein to Yesh. Okay? No, I don't abandon you. I don't reject you. I don't spurn you. I don't forget you. I couldn't. Even a mother could forget her kids, but I can't. There's something fundamental here. And what's so fundamental is that this is the basis of the Brit. The idea being that if we forget about the specific elements of punishment and we think about the much broader picture of our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, even there, if we want to start questioning it, we're already off base. The Kaddish Baruch Hu is saying the fundamental of this relationship is this brit, this covenant, and it cannot be broken. Okay. Sometimes in counseling context, they talk about, you know, there's form and there's content. There's like the specific things that people complain about, and there's the broader dynamic. This midrash is talking about the broader dynamic of our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And it's saying if our complaint is that the broader dynamic reflects some level of abandonment, then we're missing the boat, because the ultimate broader dynamic is that we are part of a brit and we are children of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and Hashem will never forget that. And we might, but all we have to look is very quickly to see how Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshayahu negated the possibility that that could ever not be the case. Okay. Our final midrash, and then it looks like we'll have some time for questions also. Our final midrash. I'm sorry, there's someone named Rivka, if you can turn the microphone off. Thank you. So the final midrash is from about the pasuk that we repeat at the end of the laning of the Megillah. Hashiveinu Hashem Alecha v'nashuva. Chadei Shemeinu kekedem. Return us God to you, and we will return. And then we say, renew our days as of old. So the idea of renewing our days as of old really works very well with everything we've been looking at here. But what about Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva? Bring us back, God, and we will return to you. So the Midrash here constructs a dialogue. Amar Knesset Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Knesset Yisrael, or Am Yisrael, as in whole, say, before a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Shelchahu, this is on you. Bring us back. We've gone too far. Maybe, we do accept that there's a breed. We've learned that. We understand that you want to comfort us, but there's the step we haven't talked about yet. We've talked about sin. We've talked about punishment. We've talked about comfort. We never talked about tshuva. And that step of tshuva isn't so easy to take. Even if we know that the brit is inviolable, that it cannot be touched, it cannot be erased, there's still a step that we need to take of repentance. And the first stage of this dialogue is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this repentance, it's on you to help us out. We can't initiate it. We've been sinning, we've been bruised, we've been punished. We can't fix this. We need you to reach out your hand and enable us to fix it. And God says, Amar lahem, shelachem hu. No, it's on you. Shenamar, because it said, shuvu elai, vashuva lechem neum Hashem. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says God. So we have hashivenu, our pasuk from Eicha. We have us saying, God, do this for us. And we have the pasuk from Zacharias where God says, you have to initiate repentance. That's the missing link, and it's got to come from you. And then we go back to God. This is chutzpahdik. We go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say, Ribono shel Olam, shelchahu, no, it really is you. Because it says in Tehillim, Shuvenu Elokei Yishenu, bring us back, the God of our salvation. And this is really a plea. It's really a prayer, which is interesting because in and of itself, this prayer has an aspect of tshuva, right? Prayer is one of our classic acts of tshuva, right? One of the ways that we repent is by davening to God, by confessing to God, by asking God for help, by resolving about the future. But it's a classic act of repentance is, of course, prayer. And here, this is a prayer that's saying, help us come back, bring us back. And now the response, the resolution of this, it's really a disagreement. It's not just a dialogue. It's a disagreement is, l'chach ne'mar, for this reason, it is said, hashivenu Hashem elecha, v'nashuva. How does this bring the pieces together? Hashivenu Hashem elecha v'nashuva. If we really start thinking about it, it's a pasuk that doesn't make a lot of sense because it seems like two things are happening simultaneously. God is bringing us back to Him, and we're going back to God. And what Chazal did in this expansion of this dialogue is basically they're explaining how these things can be simultaneous, and they say, well, there's this initial opening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of extending His hand. He's accepting Am Yisrael. He's saying, yeah, if you daven to help repent, you've made your first step, as it were, and now I'll help you. But you also have to do it. In other words, it's shelcha and it's shelachem. It's God's and it's also ours. This is a really nice way to end this kind of sequence of five different midrashim in Eicha Rabbah, each of which entails a sort of call and response of sin and of comfort, and slowly building to add in the aspects of punishment, and now finally the aspect of repentance. And what's so potent about this one is that it's sort of, yeah, we're still quoting Tehillim, we're still quoting Zechariah, but it's different. Everything we've seen before has been the Navi standing in, the Navi standing in for our voice, the Navi standing in for God's voice. And there's something here that makes it seem much more like a direct dialogue between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And here we've sinned, but ultimately our tshuva has to be also in response. And that response is that Hashem, to some extent, accepts our position, but we also have to accept His. There's mutuality here. We're coming together and recognizing that we both have to play a role in restoring this relationship. The nechama isn't going to happen on its own. And there's something else I want to point out about this midrash, which I think is no less important. And actually, for me, right now, thinking about Tisha B'Av and what we've been through this year, might be the most important message of all of the midrashim that we've seen here today. Let me stop sharing for a second, just so I can be present with you as I say this. If we think about it, this dialogue that takes place in the last midrash is a dialogue that takes place before anything has been restored. Tshuva hasn't happened yet. the realization of nechama, of comfort, and certainly the realization of geula, of redemption, have not yet taken place. And yet, what's evident from this dialogue, which must be taking place, this dialogue, it's in, within Eicha, this is a dialogue that's taking place when we've had the sin and we've had the punishment. And what this dialogue makes clear to us is that the dialogue with the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stop at any stage. Meaning, if the message of the last Midrash was, you might be tempted to question the Brit because it might feel like it's broken, but no. The answer is just flat out no. That answer has been given. The Brit is not broken. The message of this Midrash is, we know that Brit's never broken because our dialogue between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu never stopped. Even in the pain of sin, and even in the pain of suffering, we're still able to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here it's not Moshe Rabbeinu answering for him, it's not Yeshayahu answering for him, and it's not really even Yirmiyahu is speaking for us, but it's a different type of dialogue. We're talking directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's reaching out to us, and he's saying, the answer to how we have all of this, as it were, restitution or responses, the answer is that this mutual dialogue is at the heart of tshuva. And this mutual dialogue, no matter what happens between us, is never and can never be broken. Okay. Thank you very much. If there are questions, I'll take questions. I'll look at the chat for starters. Okay.
Like I said, I want to give Lori a special thank you for pinch hitting at the last minute and even preparing a source sheet. Please.
The Simcha. Does anyone have anything they want to ask?
I guess the difference between why Yirmiyahu is so negative and Yeshayahu is so positive, I guess. But that's, of course, the what they are.
You know what's so interesting is that Yeshayahu isn't always positive, right? He's not always positive. He knows how to be negative, too.
But this past Shabbos, but he has, you know, he's our Navi of Nechama.
Yeah. And there's also something about the language and the register in which they speak. There's something very raw about Yirmiyahu. And there's something so polished and eloquent and poetic and beautiful about Yeshayahu. And we need both of them, and both those voices are so critical to us, right? We need that kind of, it's like he has a straight line into the vein of, he taps into the vein of pain directly, Yirmiyahu, and he says it the way, I'm not saying he's never, of course he's sometimes poetic, he's often poetic, but oftentimes he just speaks, it just feels like a person would speak in pain. Someone you would know, someone you'd encounter. And Yeshayahu is a different type of Navi. It's, you feel that sense of that, you know, kind of voice from on high. And I guess maybe to initiate this dialogue, we kind of need both voices, right? We need that sense of what we really have to say and Hashem hearing that. And we need that sense of that kind of, that beautiful vision.
It's miraculous that Yirmiyahu was not murdered by the, you know, barbaric kings. He let him live very long. And actually, it was, like you said, a suffering, pain life, kind of, that he had.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, right, so a lot of our Nevi'im really experience on their bodies, sometimes that's their mission, right? I think that most blatant with Yechezkel, the way in which the Navi, Oshea, you know, the Navi kind of experiences what Am Yisrael has to experience in miniature. And Yirmiyahu, it's like from every standpoint, whether it's fellow Kohanim, fellow citizens, no one wants to hear what he has to say. And on some level, that makes him the only, the authenticity is so strong with Yirmiyahu, the authenticity and the pain, because of the level of rejection that he also personally experiences, in addition to being witness to destruction, right? And that's what really, you can't question the truth of what he's saying. Because that's so much his role of being able to speak the truth through pain.
Right.